Is God calling you to ministry? It's time to multiply your capacity for ministry with an affordable degree. The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the degree for you. When God called you to ministry, He called you to preparation. This degree is the education that you need to put all the pieces together for an amazing life of ministry. You will graduate with a confidence for ministry that is backed up by your competence in the scriptures, theology, and ministry. Come learn with a trusted seminary that will help you become a faithful leader. Learn more at wbs.edu.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Today's Wednesday, November the 20th, 2024. And again, we thank you for listening. Joining me in studio is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
I'm glad to be on.
And Fred Jackson.
Yeah, good to be here, Tim.
All right, so by the way, the bottom of the hour, Steve Chapman will be joining us, not Stephen Curtis, but Steve Chapman, Steve and Annie Chapman. That
name should be familiar.
Yeah, that couple, they were a singing musical group, family back in the day, still are, but they don't, you know, travel and write new music and that kind of things anymore. So Steve and Annie Chapman, so Steve will be with us at the bottom of the hour. It's been a while since he's been on American Family Radio. He's got a new book out, which would be a great stocking stuffer, as they say, or gift, just straight up gift idea for people who have friends or family who are golfers. He wrote a devotion, and it's called A Look at Life from the Fairway. And so we're going to talk to Steve, and we're going to play one of their songs that...
This is spiritual.
Go back.
It's a spiritual book, right?
No, what? It's a golf instructional book. you know how to keep your right.
This is all day yesterday.
Right?
Oh, or all morning. This is all morning.
No, it's a spiritual book. It's a devotional book. Okay. Yeah. Steve wrote a very popular book for deer hunters called A Look at Life from the Deer Stand. Mm-hmm. From a Deer Stand.
I'd like back to check that one out. I'm going to stock and stuff my own stalker. Stocking with that one.
You can stock and stuff your own stalker.
Stalker?
Stalker?
There's no rule against that.
No, you just better be careful right there.
That's right.
Better be careful. All right, so we'll talk to Steve Chapman coming up at the bottom of the hour.
You asked, asked a question right before we
came
on the program here.
What was the question I asked, Wesley?
Question was, how many Senate seats are still left?
House seats. House of Representatives.
Right. How many House seats are still left?
To count.
And 2 weeks after the election, or after the election, there's five House seats still undecided.
Because they're still counting.
And their prediction is in 2026
they will have it wrapped up.
Yes.
Time for the midterm.
I'm not for embarrassing people, but where are these races? Where are they counting now?
Still?
Alaska at large.
All right. Well, that
California's 13th congressional district. California's 45th congressional district. Iowa's 1st congressional district and Ohio's 9th congressional district.
They must have almost extremely tight races, and they can't. I don't know. I'm trying to understand why you're not through 2 weeks after the election, even with a recount, huh?
Yeah, I don't understand. Right now, Republicans are up 218 to 212 with five still pending. So, a couple of those are in, you say California, so no.
Yeah, and so, like, one of these in Iowa's 1st congressional district, this is the race between Republican Representative Marionette Miller Meeks, hyphenated name, and Democrat Christina Bohannon. And so Miller Meeks, the Republican, leads by 108 votes with 99% of the vote counted. That is slim.
Yeah.
But still, 99% of the vote counted. Two weeks later.
What are they working, 3-hour days? I mean, it's 2 weeks.
Can one of them just tell the other one how much, what do you want me to write the check for? Can you just do that? Just say, hey, let's be done with this. Yeah. How much do you want? You know what I'm saying?
I'm not sure it works that way.
I don't know. Okay. This.
All right. So, hey, real quickly, Wesley, before we get to Brother Fred over here and the news of the day, and it's all good. It's all positive. I would like you to tell folks how they can access the podcast of this here show.
First, you can go to what first, and what I recommend is the and is the easiest is AFR.net. So go to AFR.net. You can listen live there, and you can listen anywhere you are. If you've got internet, you can listen at AFR.net. There, we also archive our podcasts and all the other radio programs that we air throughout the day. They're archived there. So if you happen to walk away or not able to listen to the second half of the program, you can go find it there. Also, you can go to stream.afa.net if you are just so bold to want to watch us.
Yes.
If that's something you're interested in, stream.afa. Right. It's not streaming. It's stream.afa.net. And, of course, we're on all the social media platforms, so you can just look us up there.
Yeah, we had 163,000 podcast downloads last month, October.
Wow.
And that's what I said. Just like you said it right there.
That's so we're AFR. We can consider AFR an influencer.
I think so.
That's not one person.
It's a big word.
Yes.
Oh, today's issues.
Influencer.
If you combined our today's.
It's a dated word, but it's
is it really? Is it dated?
Probably so. Oh, there's probably another one.
What's that?
I was thinking I'm with it. You know, I'm throwing around influencer, and now I find out I'm behind the curve again.
Anyway, thank you everybody who listens to the show and downloads the podcast. Fred, what's your first story?
First story, as we sit here, closing arguments are underway in the trial of that illegal alien charged with murdering that Georgia nursing student, Lakin Riley. His name is Jose Ibarra, 26 years old. I was able to listen to some of the testimony in the first few days of this trial. Jose Ibarra, 26, arrived in Athens, Georgia, after a taxpayer-funded flight from New York, so-called what the Biden administration called humanitarian flights. Mm. So free flight down to Georgia. During testimony, the prosecution said immediately upon arriving in Athens, Georgia, Jose Ibarra, 26 years old, went hunting for women. That's what the courtroom was told. So closing arguments are underway there. The Lakin Riley case has been used by many to express grave concern about what's going on in this country in the wake of the Biden administration's border policies, that so many violent people have come into this country and like Jose Ibarra out there on the streets and being catered to. I believe he stayed in a nice hotel in New York when he first arrived there and ended up in Athens, Georgia. Now, this is a case elected by the defense to be heard only by a judge, Superior Court Judge H. Patrick Haggard. And I expect the deliberations, because the arguments were fairly weak from the defense side, that we could have a decision within a couple of days on that case. Now,
let me just point this out, at least according to the media that I've been reading. The prosecution's case against Ibarra included DNA on key pieces of evidence to security camera footage and cell phone data, placing him at the location of the crime at the time this poor girl was killed.
Yeah, there are so many video cameras out there these days, which is a really good thing. Part of the prosecution that I was able to see was a man who was identified as Ibarra going to dumpsters and dumping things in, pieces of clothing, kind of rubber gloves, et cetera, et cetera.
So the trial is going on?
Closing arguments.
So he could be sentenced any hour now.
Yes.
If he's found guilty.
If he's
found guilty. Okay.
Yes.
So the bottom line of this story is, and it's repeated many times over, maybe not crimes as severe as this, where you have a young lady murdered, but still the bottom line, and this is one of the reasons that Biden and Harris lost the election, is because we allowed people to pour into our country illegally from all over the world, by the millions the last 4 years, and some of those are gang members, some of those are violent criminals, as we have here, allegedly, if he's found guilty. It looks like he will be, but we'll see. And so in response to that, the bottom line is that this young lady would not have been killed had this man not been allowed to come into America illegally and roam around the country. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. And who's responsible for that? Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
And Kamala Harris. And I'm not saying they murdered the girl, but they allowed the man in who shouldn't have been here into our country illegally, who murdered her. And he should not have been here.
And this is going to be an issue for the next 5 to 10 years. And I don't, even with the best effort from the Trump administration, what's already has taken place is the ripple effect is yet to be at its peak or at its end.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
For sure. And that's one thing that I still am very discouraged about is how and what we do about those that are around 18 million, depending on the most, a million immigrants, illegal immigrants that have come across the border in the last 4 years. And I just don't know what you do. I mean, it's not a good thing.
Well, that's going to be one of Trump's, jobs. The next, what are you going to do with these folks? Yep. Because it's got. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what you do. It's a but mess.
I do know this much. You do start with the criminals.
Yes.
Start there.
Yeah. And shutting down the border.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry. Start there first. You know,
but both of those though, the criminals.
Yeah. You could do that simultaneously.
Do it simultaneously.
You stop the. You reverse what Biden did. You stop. You shut down the border now.
Yes.
As soon as possible.
And you can, I don't know why.
What are y'all saying about the criminals?
Those who have, they're all criminals if they cross the border illegally. I'm talking about those that have crossed the border illegally and then have committed violent crimes and have already been due process and put back out on the streets. They have a record, and to take those illegal immigrants first and send them back would be my suggestion.
Or wouldn't send people them back. Who are criminals. Who are criminals in their own country. If we know.
I'm sorry. That's,
no, I mean, it's an, in addition to what you're saying, if they are known criminals from Venezuela, because Venezuela emptied some of their prisons out.
Right.
And so you are in a prison in Venezuela, out you go.
Okay. Where I disagree is not with y'all necessarily, but I don't think you should send violent criminals, let them go, deport them. You should punish them here.
I'm talking about after they've been punished here and they've been let. What I'm saying is, like in New York, they cuff them, they take them in, and then they let them out the next day. What I'm saying is take those that have a criminal record. Not necessarily those. I'm not saying take those that are in prison necessarily that are.
Okay, let's take this fella, for instance, right here, if he's convicted of murder. What's his name?
Jose Ibarra.
He goes to prison in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're all
in agreement on that?
Yes.
Okay, I thought I hear some people say take violent criminals like him, for example, and put them on a plane and send them back to where they came from.
No, I don't agree with that.
I misunderstand.
I don't think Lake and Riley's parents want this guy free at all.
Yeah, no, okay. I disagree.
This guy should be punished. I think what I'm saying is if they were known criminals in their own country and came here illegally, even if they don't commit a crime here, they don't rob a store.
Well, they're more likely going to.
Then you send them back.
Or in addition to that, I'm in favor of taking those who have a criminal record here, but are not in prison. So if you've committed crimes here,
I got you.
In addition to, they've already committed a crime by crossing the border illegally.
And make the U.S. taxpayer a couple $1,000 to send them back where they came from, then they can come back over the border.
And anyway,
I don't want. It's frustrating, but the sooner Trump gets into power, the better.
Yeah,
to shut this down
I'm also in favor of a 2-year no entry for anybody for any reason.
That's
under
not a
any
bad
circumstances.
Idea.
We've got enough. We've got to deal with.
Oh yeah, yeah, you, yeah. No immigration. No,
none.
We've done that before. Country.
So. Put a pause on it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Next story, Fred.
Well, it is connected to this story, and there are other stories besides this one. A little 12-year-old girl, I believe, was in Texas, was raped, murdered. And there are two illegal aliens being charged in that case. despite all of these stories, these horrible stories. Last night in Los Angeles, Los Angeles City Council voted unanimously to become a sanctuary city.
I thought they already were.
California, isn't it? They were by philosophy. Now it is a city ordinance that police there and authorities are not to cooperate with ICE officials who may be coming in. Now, Tom Homan is President-elect Trump's border czar. We know where he stands on this. He's not going to allow a state or a city declaring themselves sanctuary cities to stop his goal of going in and getting violent, illegal aliens out of this country. Cut number two.
Out of the gate, we're concentrating on public safety threats and national security threats. What politician, whether you're a mayor or governor, is saying, no, I want public safety threats to remain in my community? I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
I don't understand what he's talking about.
He's talking about why would a city or a state declare themselves sanctuary cities? What Tom Homan is saying, our priority is to go after violent, illegal aliens.
And national security threats.
National security threats. Why would a city or a state say, no, we want to protect these people?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah. Listen, this is frustrating when you have these left, and it's always the leftist governments in these cities and states. Can you imagine if there was a city in Massachusetts? There are fairly conservative in New York or Massachusetts who said, you know what? We know what the law is. Well, this is our town is a gun sanctuary. We are going to protect the Second Amendment. We are not going to cooperate with any government. Now, these cities have the right, and these states do have the right to say we're not cooperating with the federal government because it's just that. The federal government says we would like your cooperation. But if it was something, if it was an issue on the right in a liberal state, they'd go ballistic.
All right, so explain to me, practically speaking, Ed, how this might work. In other words, you're a sanctuary. Los Angeles declares their city council, we are a sanctuary city, city of Los Angeles. Okay, which means, and fill in the blank, which means when you say not cooperate, so let's say the Los Angeles Police Department, an officer arrests somebody, and he doesn't have documentation. He can't prove he's a citizen. In fact, you pretty well know he's an illegal alien.
Yeah.
Does this mean they just don't do anything with the person, or do they don't call ICE? I mean, ICE being the Immigration Customs Enforcement. In other words, they're the people in charge of enforcing our immigration laws.
Right.
And so does the L.A. Police Department say, no, we're not going to contact ICE because our city council says we can't cooperate with the federal government?
Yeah. let me set aside the
issue. How does that work exactly?
Let me set aside the issue of crime for just a second.
Okay.
Let's say there's a call for the police for domestic disturbance.
Okay.
No charges have been filed. You show up. The police discover that these people are here illegally.
Right.
Okay. No one's been charged with anything. This is not a criminal matter. They call ICE, and ICE comes and gets them and deports them. If the police pull over someone for speeding or even just a fender bender, and they find out that these individuals are here illegally in other states, they call ICE. So it's not necessarily about the criminal aspect. It's just the police find out that these people are here illegally. They're not required by federal law because the feds can't order states or cities to act as their representatives. But traditionally, it has been just a cooperation. So we know these people here illegally, call ICE, and they'll be deported, and nothing else is done.
Yeah, I've heard from police, more than one, that when they, like you're talking about, maybe you have a car speeding down the highway, and they're going 20 miles over the speed limit. You pull them over, and you got a car for what appears to be illegal aliens.
Right.
Here. Okay, nobody has a driver's license. Nobody has proof of citizenship. And so what do you do?
No insurance.
No insurance. Nothing. Right. What do? You either A, okay, take them downtown to the police department, spend about 4 hours doing paperwork with people you can't speak English, or you just say, all right, get on out of here and let them go and move on down the road. And I've heard a couple of policemen say it's easier just to let them go on down the road,
right,
than to do the work or to call ICE. And in this case, if you were in Los Angeles, you couldn't call ICE.
Yes, that's what this Los Angeles.
Well, you know what? Send them out of Los Angeles then. Yep. I just say do a bus, just like Governor Abbott of Texas has had.
Yeah. Well, that's coming. They said they're preparing for that.
Okay, well, let them have it. Yep. By what I mean, problem solved. We could just funnel all the people who, now they're about to stop coming because President Trump's going to take control of the border. We just consider all the people who come here illegally to the U.S., just take them to
residents of Los Angeles.
Yes.
And you know what? Ultimately, I'll just say this and we can move on. But ultimately, these kinds of city councils, because this was a unanimous vote, they haven't gotten the message from the
election
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So eventually, you're going to see cities flipped red.
Well,
over this issue.
You will. And also, too, we got to remember all of the celebrities that live in Los Angeles. It wasn't until Steph Curry that they had put up government housing right beside his multi-million-dollar neighborhood.
I didn't even hear about that.
Oh, it wasn't until that happened until he got involved. And he was inviting them, you know, all that kind of thing. But all of a sudden, when they're up against their gated communities, they either do one or two things. They either go moderate and move states, or they start complaining.
Yeah.
So it's coming. My point is the city councils can make this unanimous until it's up against their neighborhoods.
Next story, Fred.
All right.
Good point, Wesley. Very good point.
Under the heading, it was going to happen sooner or later.
Uh-huh.
A man by the name of Sarah McBride.
You don't name a man Sarah.
He does.
Where I'm from. Huh? Sarah's a girl.
I don't know. I'm not a biologist.
Sarah's a girl's name. Anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, Sarah, has been elected to a House seat, a Democrat from Delaware.
Uh-huh.
And a controversy has erupted over what washrooms or bathrooms he is going to be allowed to use.
You mean he was elected by the people of Delaware?
Yes.
To represent them in the United States House of Representatives?
That is correct.
And he's a man who dresses up like a girl?
That is correct.
And calls himself Sarah?
Yes.
He's a boy named Sue.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Sarah. Okay. What about?
Well,
what about this person?
Well, let me. I'm going to have Republican Congresswoman Nancy Mace let her have her moment as why she is concerned.
She's not one to hold her tongue.
No, and she has no intention of sharing a bathroom with Sarah.
Okay. All right. Do we need to screen this in any way or warn anybody?
No. We have taken out the bad part.
Okay.
Go ahead. Cut number 8.
I'm not going to allow biological men into women's private spaces. I will stand in the brink and stand in the way of anyone on the radical left who thinks that it's okay to be in a women's locker room or a bathroom or a changing room. No, I'm not going to stand for it. And the speaker said it would be in the House rules package. If it's not, I'll be ready with a motion, a privileged motion, to force a vote on this. This is not okay. I'm a survivor of rape. I'm a survivor of sexual abuse. And I'm not going to allow any man in any female private spaces.
Now, Speaker,
end of story.
Speaker Johnson has said he wants to treat every new member with the words dignity and respect. Forcing this congressperson to go into a male restroom, is that dignity and respect?
Forcing women to share private spaces with men is not dignity and not respect. And I'm absolutely going to stand in the way of anyone who thinks it's okay for a man to be in our locker room, in our changing rooms.
Good for her. Nancy Mace there from South Carolina.
Good response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, House Speaker Johnson got into some trouble with conservatives yesterday because he kind of was not as strong as Nancy Mace on this issue.
Did he waffle?
He waffled. And perhaps after the break, we'll come back and have a listen to what he had to say yesterday.
Okay. I bet he never expected this to be an issue.
Hey, this is going to be controversial.
Yes.
For the new, you heard the media.
Mm-hmm.
The left will not let this go.
Oh, no.
But Nancy Mace.
She ain't letting it go either.
No, she's not letting it go. She's not. No, she's not going to have it. All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
In many ways, abortion was on the ballot this past election, and there's reason for concern. There are many counties, cities, and states who have radicalized abortion, and thousands of tiny babies will continue to lose their lives every day. Which is why the Ministry of Preborn is on the front lines for at-risk babies and mothers with unplanned pregnancies. Preborn sponsors clinics positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country by providing them with the resources they need to rescue babies. Preborn continues to expand their life-affirming care. Their end-of-year goal is to equip 10 more clinics with ultrasound machines. These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most clinics can afford. When a woman meets her baby on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life. And when she comes to a Preborn Network clinic, she will also be embraced with God's love. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and now through a match, your gift is doubled. How many babies can you save? Please donate. Just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby, or go to preborn.com AFR. That's preborn.com AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Welcome back to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Ed, Wesley, and Fred. There is a verdict in the case in Georgia.
Yeah, we have an update to our top story. The man accused of killing Lake and Riley has been found guilty of her murder. Pardon me. It took about 20 minutes, I think, for the judge to make his decisions after
closing. 20 minutes?
Yeah, about that. Well,
yeah, the evidence was
overwhelming. Yeah.
And as you said, the defense, what do you say if you're a defense attorney and that was all that kind of evidence stacked up against your client? What do you say?
The defense attorney in his opening argument this way, he says there's no question Lake and Riley was murdered. The evidence is overwhelming. However, the case against my client is circumstantial. But the prosecution had so much evidence.
Yeah.
So much evidence.
Well, I just still heartbroken for.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Her. When I've seen her mom, I don't know her dad.
Oh yeah.
Just, you never get over that.
You know, you're not supposed to outlive your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and the way in which she died, and the fact that she died because this guy was here illegally.
Right. Shouldn't have been here.
Like you said, he should not have been here. This was avoidable, and now the parents got to live with that empty chair at Thanksgiving the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very sad. A very sad, tragic situation, but there is justice in the sense that this fella was caught and convicted, and now he'll go to prison for the rest of his life,
yes.
I would assume, in Georgia especially.
Yeah.
All right.
So we're going to go back to...
We're going to come back to that later.
We'll come the back. Nancy Mace.
Yeah, the Nancy Mace. We'll get back to
okay,
Nancy.
Okay.
Nancy and Mike Johnson and their case against Sarah McBride. Sarah's a dude.
100%.
Sarah's a dude. Calls herself a woman. She's a trans.
He's trans.
That yeah, is. See what I did there?
It
they
is
got
confusing.
Me.
No,
they got me.
Listen, I do it all the time.
All right, so.
We will come back.
We'll get back to that story, and we'll confuse you some more. How about that? That's coming
sounds
up
good to me.
A little bit. Because there is another part of the story that we did want to get to that's important related to Speaker Mike Johnson.
Yes.
Well, the name, the musical group, Steve and Annie Chapman, a lot of people familiar with Steve and Annie and their ministry over the decades. in music and writing and so forth and so on. And saw Steve and Annie recently when we were in Nashville during the summer for the AFA retreat there. And he's got a new book out called A Look at Life from the Fairway. And it follows up on his book, A Look at Life from the Deer Stand, from a Deer Stand.
Yeah, I wrote a book years ago. I don't know if this is where Steve got the idea, but A Look at Life from the Pizzeria.
Yeah.
And so
did that catch on?
Yeah, a lot of spiritual
implications there.
Teachings in that.
Yeah, pepperoni.
Yeah.
You can apply pepperoni.
Your choices say a lot about right. you. You put pineapple on a pizza?
Right. Right. That's what
you may
I'm
not
saying.
Be going to heaven.
Decisions. That's decisions.
All right. So Steve joined us from the Nashville area. Good morning, Steve.
Uh-huh. Can you hear me okay?
We can. Where are you?
I am in Nolensville, Tennessee,
okay.
A suburb of Nashville.
Well, listen, thanks for being on with us. Hey, by the way, we're going to play a song in a few minutes, but we're not really Casey Kasem here, but we're going to play a song in a few minutes from back in the day that Steve and Annie are known for. But Steve, look at life from a deer stand. That book just exploded, didn't it? When was that? Was that like in the 2000s or when was that?
No, it was written in the 1900s back in 96.
You were a music guy. I mean, you didn't write books, but that just boomed, didn't it?
It did. It filled a gap that, what hadn't been filled in Christian books. We had written a couple of books with Bethany House and up in Minneapolis, and I was out in a deer hunting camp with a bunch of guys in North Platte, Nebraska, and one of them talked about the James passage, life is but a vapor. He said, this morning, I just couldn't stop the vapor. He said, I know a deer sees it. And he talked about how he come to the, when he saw the vapor, he thought of that James passage. And I thought, man, I've had that same thought. I wonder how many other guys have too. So I started compiling the ideas for how you can connect scripture to nature and nature to scripture, and glean some what I call harvest of truths.
Yeah.
And that's what I started doing and came up with that book.
That book's still on chosen book stands at every truck stop in America.
That's amazing, isn't it?
I still see it. I still see it. Yeah. I know that guy right there. A look at life from a deer stand. And now you've written a new one called Devotional, which I wanted to tell people about. It's brand new. And it's a Christmas gift idea or stocking stuffer, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm halfway through it. It's called A Look at Life from the Fairway. Go ahead.
Well, here's the premise I work under with these outdoor books. I believe and convinced that God wires people to like to do a certain thing, maybe a couple of things, but you especially hone in on an interest. Like for me, it was hunting. I like to fish. But when COVID happened and our schedule went blank, I had a friend invite me to go play golf. I didn't realize how much I enjoyed it. But, God can use a person's interest to use it as a classroom to teach him something or her. But you got to be looking for it. And that's what the Look Alive from a Deer Stand is full of, these insights I've gleaned. That's what Look Alive from a Fairway is. Now, I started to call it A Look at Life from the Sand Trap.
That's a good one.
I don't think you would have sold very many if you're going to look at life from the sand trap. For those who don't know about golf, you don't want to be in the sand trap. You want to be in the
fairway. You do want to be in a deer stand, but you don't want to be in the sand trap.
Duly noted. Look at Life from the Fairway. It's a devotional, and it is excellent. It's not. When I start reading these kinds of books, and I don't read many of them, I go, well, this is probably going to be cheesy, right?
Yeah.
A non-golfers, you know, but somebody who's played golf or knows golf, they're going to appreciate all the truths that Steve communicates in here from the scripture, that while he talks some fun and funny things about his golf experiences. A look at life from the fairway. And you can get that. It's published by Harvest House, and get it for a golfer, you know, for a Christmas gift. What is the song we're about to play, Steve?
Oh, it's called Finish Well. I believe that's what you might have queued up. Every golfer wants to finish well, but that's that song was, believe it or not, was written at the Baker, Jim Baker and Tammy
Faye.
Was dying. Yeah, she was dying, and she looked terrible and was on Larry King's show. And she just threw a very hoarse voice, said, "Larry, I want to see you in heaven." And she was a different person. But Annie looked at me when we watched that interview, and she said, "Say what you will about Tammy Faye, but she will finish well." And I went, "That's a great idea."
Great idea for a song.
But the song is actually about my dad. I called him one day and I said, "Dad, why don't we get you the internet so we can connect that way, get you the web?" He said, I don't want the web. I got one. I get it down with a broom every once in a while." And he said, I don't want to mess with that stuff. I got friends at the office, and the office is the little restaurant he goes to and meets with his preacher friends. He said, "I got friends at the office who've gotten into stuff that they shouldn't have got into on the internet." So he said, let's not do that.
Okay.
But that's what.
So this was a song written by you in the when was this, in the 90s maybe?
No, 2008.
2008, Finish Well, Steve and Annie Chapman. Let's hear it.
I want to finish well. I want to end this race. Still leaning on His amazing grace. I want my last few miles to testify that God never fails. I don't want to fall down this close to the line. I want to finish well. He'll turn 81 next Sunday. I called him on the phone. I said, "I'm coming to see you, Grandpa. What can I bring along? Would you like a dish for your TV? Would you like the internet?" He said, "Thank you, boy, but this ain't the time to be tripping over stuff like that. I want to finish well. I want to end this race. Still leaning on His amazing grace. I want my last few miles to testify that God never fails. I don't want to fall down this close to the line. I want to finish well." Bring me a Bible where the words are big and tall, so these old eyes can read the truth that'll help me not to fall. 'Cause I want to finish well. I want to end this race still leaning on His amazing grace. I want my last few miles testify that God never fails. I don't want to fall down this close to the line. I want to finish well. I don't want to fall down this close to the line. I want to finish well.
That song by Steve Chapman, our guest right now from Nashville area, Steve Chapman, from Steve and Annie Chapman. They were traveled America as ambassadors to the families, what Dr. James Dobson called them, for three decades or more. And so, Steve, if people want to get your music, they can still do that. How do they do that?
StephenAndyChapman.com. We have a Shopify store that they can go to, and all the books and what we have available is there. And by the way, do you know what golf stands for if you break it down?
Golf, okay.
Go out, look foolish.
Yeah, but when you hit that good shot, it sure is fun.
Keeps you paying the green fees.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Steve, take care. Say hello to Annie, and we look forward to maybe we can play sometime soon. Okay, brother?
What, music or golf?
Either one.
Yeah. Well, Dad won't be playing any music.
I can go either way. I have cello experience from junior high school.
By the way, I was listening to that song. My dad is not my grandpa.
I know. I wondered about that. It's your dad you were talking about, right?
Yeah, I framed him as a grandpa, because I needed an extra syllable.
Oh, that's simple to explain, huh? Okay.
Yeah, but, all right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Steve. Thank you. Steve Chapman, Chapman.
What a great sense of humor.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. You know, so there are two books I would recommend for a sporting enthusiast or outdoors enthusiast.
Right.
A Look at Life from a Deer Stand. If you've never read, that's for hunters. That's a great book, devotional book. And for golfers, A Look at Life from the Fairway.
And is the A Look at Life from the Deer Stand, is it that size book? I'm pointing.
Yeah.
Because those would be good stocking stuffers. It's a small little devotional book.
Yeah. And it takes about 3 minutes to read the devotional. I'm about halfway through it. But
not the whole thing. You mean each devotion. Takes about 3 minutes to read. How many devotions are in there?
I would say maybe, 50, maybe? Okay. Something like that. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Now, getting back to this story for just a moment, because we needed to wrap. We were going to talk about the story involving the House of Representatives. There is a person.
A dude.
Okay, yes.
Dressed like a lady.
You're going to sing Aerosmith's song now?
No, okay. That's not a good group.
Okay. All right, so... this fella, he calls himself Sarah, and he says he's a girl.
He was elected in Delaware.
In Delaware, he was elected as a House of Representatives, U.S. House of Representatives, not state.
But how many votes? I got to know how. I still got too many questions.
I have to get back to you on that.
His name again?
We'll look this up.
Sarah.
How many people?
Sarah McBride. That's what he
calls. And I want names.
That's what he calls himself. Anyway, the point is, you heard Nancy Mace from South Carolina, a U.S. Congresswoman, and she said, no way, not letting this dude in the bathroom or the showers or anything else in the congressional, in the House.
That is correct.
Okay, because that's inappropriate and not acceptable. And so... Sarah said whether or not they're going to use bathrooms for females or not?
I have not seen him quoted as saying that.
Okay. Listen, I know that, do you call it gender confusion?
Among other things.
Okay. Well, for some people, that's a serious mental disorder. Well, for all of them, it's a serious mental disorder. They don't acknowledge it as such.
You're saying some of them do acknowledge it and it won't help, and others not so much. Is that what
I don't want to seem like I don't care about these people as individuals, because they're God's children. They're unrepentant.
They're made in the image of God.
They're made in the image of God, but they're very, very messed up.
Right.
For a girl to call himself a boy and a boy to call himself a girl and dress as the opposite sex, something's wrong. Okay,
they're not, and it's no different than a person who is skinny thinking they are obese with anorexia and
starving themselves,
and they actually believe it.
Yes, they actually believe it.
We covered all this in his image.
Yeah. So I don't want to minimize. I don't want to just seem like a mocker and a scoffer here.
Yeah.
I don't want to minimize the
person that's
the seriousness of the mental problem here that I see it and spiritual problem, because these people think that they're something that they're not. But you can't say that you are something that you're not and then go force that on the rest of the public, is what right. I'm saying. So
including female members of Congress.
Yes. So House Speaker Mike Johnson was asked to respond to the idea of this new member, Sarah, who's a guy, going and using the girls' restrooms.
Yes.
In the Capitol. Right?
After Congresswoman Nancy Mace put a line in the sand.
Oh, she said blankety blank no.
Yes. basically, that's what she said. So, reporters raced to Mike Johnson, the House Speaker, basically to say, so what are you going to do about this?
Right. Was he prepared for this question?
Well, what you're going to hear first is his initial response, and then we put a little pause in there because he took a lot of flack for the initial response, and then he comes back, and I'll tell you he's still taking flack for the second try at this.
All right?
So here we go. Here's House Speaker Mike Johnson. Cut nine.
Is freshman-elect Sarah McBride a man or a woman?
Look, I'm not going to get into this. We welcome all new members with open arms who are duly elected representatives of the people. I believe it's a command that we treat all persons with dignity and respect, and we will. And I'm not going to engage in silly debates about this. There's a concern about the uses of restroom facilities and locker rooms and all that. This is an issue that Congress has never had to address before, and we're going to do that in deliberate fashion with member consensus on it, and we will accommodate the needs of every single person.
Later that same day.
Hello, everybody. I just want to make a statement for all of you here and be very clear. I was asked a question this morning at the leadership gaggle, and I rejected the premise because the answer is so obvious. For anybody who doesn't know my well-established record on this issue, let me be unequivocally clear. A man is a man, and a woman is a woman, and a man cannot become a woman. That said, I also believe, that's what Scripture teaches, what I just said, but I also believe that we treat everybody with dignity, and so we can do and believe all those things at the same time, and I wanted to make that clear for everybody because there's lots of questions, but that's where I stand. I've stood there my whole life, and those are facts.
Well, first of all, let me just say, to answer your question, Tim, with this is goes back to Election Day with 95% of the vote in. On Election Day, McBride had 58% of the vote. So Delaware's proudly liberal state, and they voted for a man in a dress, 58%.
Okay, so what was wrong with the second answer, Fred?
Well, he didn't answer the question as to what he is going to do about this. Now, he was firm on what he believes. He says, I believe what the Bible says.
I think he got caught off guard on that first try.
I think he doesn't have an answer right now. I don't know what you do when you don't got an answer other than just give your personal opinion.
Go ahead.
I think what's probably going to happen, there will be a proposal for a third type of bathroom.
Good Lord.
Okay, see, gracious. Now here's the thing.
But there will be a battle.
The Lord has nothing to do with this one.
I know. I said good gracious.
He's
already settled this one.
Yes. When Target, we boycotted Target. I think that's starting back in 2015 or 2016. When we first started boycotting Target because they unapologetically welcomed men into women's restrooms, Target came out and said, we are going to have genderless, neutral bathrooms available. So most people can see these now in some stores. It's like on the image on the doors, half man, half woman, and it's a neutral bathroom. Either one can go in.
But it only fits one person.
Right. It's a single occupancy.
Yes.
And we said that's not good enough. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It wasn't good enough for the trans community. Because this dude, Sarah McBride, he insists that he's a woman.
Yeah.
And what he's going to say is, no, I don't want to go into the gender neutral bathroom because you're telling me that I'm not a woman. I want to go. Listen.
You think he's going to take that approach?
Do
you
absolutely.
That for, okay.
That's the whole point of this thing, is you've got to honor the way I see myself. And let me tell you something. Speaker Johnson is in a tough spot.
Yes, he is.
Because what are you going to do if Sarah McBride, the new representative from Delaware, says, no, I'm going into the ladies' room because I'm a woman. What are you going to do? You gonna put U.S. Marshals out there and arrest?
Well, I think that's the problem here. They don't have an answer.
Right.
And that's why I think right now they're sitting down probably talking about this.
I bet Nancy Mace.
Has an answer.
Oh. Let Nancy Mace have at him.
And here's the thing. You're going to have Democratic representatives on the left saying, I've got no problem with it. This is a mess. And when you raise your fist against God and you defiantly ignore nature, this is what you get. Yep. Utter confusion.
I will say this.
In chaos.
Yep. It is an issue. Speaker Johnson's right. You never had to address something like this. Address. See what I did there? And so you do go, what can I do legally? I mean, do you put guards outside a restroom?
Right.
Say,
taxpayer.
What do you say? I mean, what do you say? So I don't know. Maybe this fella, Sarah, who he says he's a woman. Okay. Speaker Johnson said a man's a man and a woman's a woman. And that's the way God made it. And that's the way you can put on a dress and lipstick if you want to and call yourself a woman, but you're not a woman. So that's just the end of story on that note. But maybe that person, though, will decide to go to the men's restroom.
Here's what Steve Jordahl, he texted me and said, we're going to have a bathroom for Democrat women and a bathroom for Republican women.
All right, we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.